Welcome to Heart to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related, presented by the physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Susan Curtin, and today we have Dr. Trey Baucom of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists located in Shreveport, Louisiana. And we're discussing COVID updates. Welcome, Dr. Baucom.
Great to be here.
It's always fascinating to talk to you about COVID because you have such a hopeful outlook and you're very calming. You have that great influence. What should we know about the new strains?
Well, the new strains are concerning. And the ones that people talk about, you know, COVID, as we mentioned, I think in the first podcast, there are several different variants, even originally. But the ones that have emerged as additional threats are the UK variant, the Brazilian variant, and the South African variant. And most of the experts seem most concerned about the South African variant. It seems like all the variants, though, are protected by the vaccines. Now, there is talk that perhaps we'll need a booster down the road because there is some difference in what's called the spike protein in some of the variants, and that might be able to fool the antibodies that your body produces. But I don't think so. I mean, if I had to guess right now, I would say the vaccines are going to work for all of them. The therapeutics seem to work for all of them. They don't seem to be particularly more lethal than the original strain. And if you remember right off the bat, there were two strains. These viruses seem very similar. The one from South Africa definitely seems more infectious, though. It seems like it's easier to catch it. And that's one of the real concerns. But like I said, I'm hopeful that the vaccine is going to take care of this and that herd immunity is going to take care of it.
Right. So we're starting to see some of the vaccines and with the approval and distribution of these, what are some things we need to know?
We're getting some data back now on real-life experience with the vaccines. And two studies came out that I thought were very interesting. One is that the vaccine was about as safe as they said it was going to be. And so there was a lot of concern. There were a couple of deaths right off the bat, and people became very concerned about the vaccine. Unfortunately, that always happens, that it may not even have been related to the vaccine, although it is suspicious that they were. You know, it was temporally related. One of them was associated with very low platelets, which vaccines are known to do. But even then, when they looked at the millions of people that have been inoculated, the rate of death and major adverse outcomes was not higher than they anticipated. So that's good. The vaccine is as safe as they thought it would be. And for full disclosure, I received mine. I got the Pfizer vaccine because it was available to me first. No problem. After the second vaccine, you do feel a little fluish, you know, a little bit of fever, maybe a little restless night that night, but not bad. And of course, in the vaccine world, they call that a take. That means that you did have the antibody response to it, and that's what you want. And then the second study I was referring to came out of Israel, and it was specifically about the Pfizer vaccine. And so now they have real world experience with people that have received the Pfizer vaccine starting back in January, and they have seen some people since then get the virus. So it seems to be about 90%+ effective at preventing infection. And of the people that got the vaccine that subsequently got COVID, they were much less ill. So none of them had to be hospitalized. None of them died. None of them had serious illness. So even in the people that didn't get complete immunity from COVID, they were protected from serious outcomes by the vaccine. So the vaccines seem to be working, and I would lump the Moderna vaccine in with that one. I think the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine are basically the same technology. They're almost identical. There are these new vaccines, which are messenger RNA vaccines, which is a brand new type of vaccine, and it's very exciting. You know, in the first podcast, I was skeptical, not about the vaccine, but at the time frame, because prior to this, there's never been a vaccine invented in less than 4 years. And these scientists did this in less than a year. And that is really a superhuman feat that unfortunately is really not being acknowledged because things happen so fast now. People have not taken time to absorb what a monumental achievement that was.
It is really staggering when you think about how fast it came about. And, you know, you mentioned before about the people who did end up getting COVID, they didn't get it as bad. And isn't that why we take the flu shot?
Exactly, you know? Right. Yeah, the flu vaccine almost never completely eradicates your risk of the flu. But in most people, it mitigates the severity of symptoms. And yeah, that's part of what a vaccine does. I don't want to make it sound like it's a failure. But the vaccine so far in the initial stage is doing exactly what they thought. 90%+ of people seem to have complete protection from COVID. And then the remaining people are protected from serious outcomes. So it's working.
Dr. Baucom, Are there any regular flu cases? Because we're not hearing a lot about that. Are we not getting the flu because we're protecting ourselves? Is there no such thing as the regular flu anymore?
It is weird. It's like, did COVID eat the flu? And when doctors are all sitting around talking amongst each other, we've all commented on this. And also a dramatic decrease in just sinusitis and the sniffles and ear infections. And no one knows. I mean, I'm sure people are studying this. And I do think that the data on the flu shows that it's been a very mild year, probably because of the mitigation strategies for COVID. I mean, hand washing, additional hygiene, mask wearing, social distancing, and then, of course, the decrease in social gatherings. And I do think that that's had an effect. Now, it's harder to explain the sinusitis. I'm not sure why that has gone down. But a couple of ear, nose, and throats experts told me that it's just like, stop this year. So it is very interesting.
Very interesting. Are there new therapeutics we should be aware of?
Yeah, even before the vaccine came out, I think we were getting a little bit of a better handle on COVID. I mean, we have learned about COVID at just a warp speed. And from the beginning of treatment of COVID last January till now, things have changed dramatically and outcomes have gotten a lot better. So first we learned about supplemental oxygen and keeping people off the ventilator as opposed to trying to get them on the ventilator early on, which was the initial strategy. We've learned a lot about steroid use. At first they had said, don't use steroids. We think they're going to hurt people with COVID. We found out that was incorrect, that steroids actually help. And then there are several specific therapeutics that are now available for COVID patients. And two of them are monoclonal antibodies. You heard a little bit about President Trump received one of them when he was sick. And there's two, there's bamlanivimab. And the other one is a combination of casirivimab and indevimab. And those two medications, the first one's a single, the next one's a combination, but you give it as a single infusion. It has to be given IV. And what they found was that if you give that early on in the illness, so if you pick the right patients, so someone who's at significant risk of bad illness, so a little bit older or a comorbidity, you should probably give them this early on, and it seems to really have an effect. It's hard to crunch the data on that yet, but it does seem like, and then anecdotally, I've seen people that got it, they said, oh my gosh, I could feel it going in my vein. It seemed like it just cured me. And then convalescent plasma is similar to that. I've heard a lot of fantastic success stories on convalescent plasma. And if you think about it, those two things work in a very similar mechanism. So a monoclonal antibody, antibodies in our body fight infections. So if our body has to do it, our body has to learn what the enemy is, produce enough of these, you know, bullets to go after the enemy, and then let them go. And that takes some time. That's what vaccines do. Vaccines teach our body ahead of time. So as soon as it sees the virus, it's ready, it's loaded. Monoclonal antibodies are an artificial form of antibodies, which we can give to you that fight the infection for you. And convalescent plasma is you're taking someone else's antibodies and using them to help fight the virus in your body. And so they have a very similar method of working, but they all seem to work, and they seem to make a dramatic improvement, particularly in very ill people or people that have the potential to become very ill. Like I've already mentioned, the way we ventilate people and avoiding ventilating, the way we give them oxygen, things as simple as having them on their stomach seems to help dramatically. And then the use of steroids early on helps, and then antivirals. And remdesivir is really the only one that's been shown to be helpful, is good. Once again, it has to be given early on, and those are inpatients to get that. And then some little things, vitamin D seems to be helping prevention, zinc seems to help in prevention, and those are really the main things. There's lots of other stuff that's being tried that is so, it's unsure whether it helps. I don't want to bring it up because there's so many of them. I mean, there are anti-parasite medicines. There are lots of other things that are being tried, and we just don't know. And these things work so well, the ones we have, that I think they're going to continue to be in the forefront for the foreseeable future.
Well, it certainly sounds a lot more hopeful. And what do you foresee for the next few months, how things might develop?
Well, you know, the numbers have dropped just dramatically in the last week. And so we seem to be having a big surge, and we saw that at the hospital. And then all of a sudden it's just dropping off. And we all like to attribute some piece of our knowledge to why that's happening, but I've seen people be wrong so much. It's about like predicting the weather. I mean, it's really hard to tell cause and effect with COVID. Hopefully it is because we're starting to develop herd immunity. I see people every week now that are post-COVID. I mean, at the beginning of this, of course, I didn't. Saw a few people with it. But now, routinely, I see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 patients every week that have had COVID. Most of them got over it fine. Some are worried about cardiac complications. That's why they're in to see me. Some are just in for routine visits. But my point is, a lot of people have had it now. And a lot of people have been vaccinated, over 30 million. When you start to add those two together, I do think there's starting to be a significant amount of herd immunity that's going to protect the rest of the population. Some people are worried about when these new variants hit, maybe there's going to be another surge, and they may be right. I'm not going to predict anymore. But I think we're starting to get a little bit of herd immunity, and I'm hopeful that's why these numbers are dropping, and I'm hoping they're going to continue to drop.
We hear a lot of things about masks, hand washing, sanitation. Now people are talking about double masking. What do you find is the most effective way to avoid getting COVID?
Well, those things are all very helpful. Certainly hand washing, basic hygiene, social distancing. You know, the mask thing, I think I'm still going to stand by my original statement from my first podcast. So masks are very effective at preventing you from infecting another person. And prior to this podcast, I really looked at the data as much as I could find on masks and the science behind masks, because I was sort of shocked when Dr. Fauci said the thing about two masks, because I've never seen a study to support that. And then it just caught fire, and all of a sudden it became almost like, you know, religious belief. Yes, two masks are better than one. Well, then a pillow would be better than two masks. And all doctors know that a lot of virus is actually brought into our body through our eyes. We rub our eyes and it goes through our lacrimal duct. So a blindfold would be useful. But of course, that's just ridiculous. And even Dr. Fauci had to walk the two mask thing back, because there's no data that wearing two masks is better than one. And the data that wearing one mask is very weak. Now, I'm not anti-mask, but masks have a purpose. And what masks do is, if there's a large crowd of people who cannot social distance, if everyone wears a mask the entire time, then the rate of infection will go down in that crowd. And that is true, because the people that are in the crowd who have COVID are less likely to spread it if they're wearing a mask. And since you don't know who they are, everyone has to wear a mask. The data that a mask prevents you from getting COVID is soft at best. There are a couple of sort of population-based studies that say in this group that wore a mask all the time, was less likely to get COVID than we would have anticipated through mathematical modeling. But there was another study that said that even in mask wearers, they didn't appear to have a lower rate of COVID compared to social distancing. And the social distancing in a lot of those studies was 3 feet, not 6. And so sometimes I think it's tempting to say, well, 3 feet's good, maybe 6 feet is better. And if one mask is good, two masks are better. But that's not always true. And then you run into practical issues like compliance. It is very difficult for people to comply with one mask. It is almost impossible to ask people to wear two masks. And like I said, there's really no data to support that. And so I encourage people, when they cannot social distance 3 to 6 feet, particularly if they're inside, and particularly if they're in a dense crowd, that they should wear a mask. But wearing a mask when you're alone, walking down the street, stuff like that, it might make you feel better, but it is really not doing anything. And I'd rather people use masks when it is appropriate and not worry about it, and not worry about what their neighbor's doing. Because if you see someone and they're more than 3 feet away from you, certainly more than 6 feet away from you, they are not a danger to you. And that was the only thing I'd say about masks, because like I said, these things take off on the internet, and it's once they start, it's hard to stop them.
It is. Everyone's an armchair.
Oh yeah, everybody's an expert. And like I said, it is even actually hard. You have to really dig to find the data on masks. And a lot of the data they refer to was a study on hamsters, where they just isolated them using material similar to mask material, and based on that, they said, "Well, masks work." Well, I mean, masks do probably work, and there are other subsequently population-based studies that show that masks in a crowd of people that cannot social distance do help the overall spread of the disease, but that's their only use.
Very good. Thank you so much, Dr. Baucom. For more information, visit acsdoctors.com.